Tonight, I preach a sermon entitled, How to Endure. How to Endure. You know, sometimes life seems like an obstacle course. It seems like it's filled with events and things that happen, and we have trials, and we have tribulations, and we have burdens that come into our life at different times. And one of two things happen. When life becomes an obstacle course, and it looks like we're just having to try to, you know, get around everything, keep everything in balance, we either get off course or we endure. We either get off course and turn away from God and wonder why God is letting all this stuff come into our life, or we draw closer to Him because we realize that we can't make it through without Him. Now, I'll tell you tonight, what Satan wants to happen is for us to get off course. He wants us to quit, wants us to fall out of the race, wants us to get discouraged. And that's his desire for our life. God wants us to endure. God wants us to finish. And, you know, sometimes we look at our life and we think, man, I've got it worse than anybody else. Nobody's life is as messed up as mine. Nobody's life has more obstacles, more detours, more burdens, more heartaches than mine. Let me describe a life for you. This, a man, and you know who I'm talking about immediately because we read about him in the scripture reading. But he was born into slavery. He was born at a time when the ruler of the land that he was a slave in said that all baby boys had to be killed. He tried to get the midwives to kill him when they were born. They didn't because they feared God. And then he made a decree that every baby boy that was born had to be thrown into the river. His dad and mom hid him for 3 months. When they could no longer hide him, they made a little boat out of bulrushes and set him beside the river. He was discovered by the king's daughter, and she took him from his family after he got so old and took him away from his people, his culture, his God, and raised him as her child. When he was 40 years old, he chose to return to his own people, but they rejected him. In trying to break up a fight between one of the Egyptians and one of the Israelites, he committed murder. He was discovered and had to flee for his life. For the next 40 years, he ended up being a shepherd in the wilderness. In Egypt, he was trained by Pharaoh's daughter to be a leader. But in the wilderness, he spent most of his time alone. In Egypt, he was trained to be captain of a mighty army. In the wilderness, his soldiers were a bunch of dumb sheep. In Egypt, he was trained to be a judge and solve problems. In the wilderness, he spent most of his time looking for pasture and water for the sheep that he was responsible for. At 80 years old, God called him to return to his people and lead them out of slavery. And so he stood before Pharaoh and said, I have a message from God. Let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no way. And God intervened in a miraculous way, sent 10 plagues, as we read about in the book of Exodus, and freed his people. Now this man had a people to lead. He had an army to captain, had a nation to judge. He led them to the land that God had promised them, and they refused to go in. And they were sentenced to wander 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years going in circles, getting nowhere. And during those 40 years, this people that God had entrusted with him complained about the food, they complained about the water, they complained about the way. They rebelled against his leadership, his own family, his brother and his sister rebelled against him. And he had to watch, as the leader of this people, he had to watch every male that was over 20 years old die in that 40 years, except for him and two other guys. On one occasion, he lost his temper as he was dealing with the complaints of the people, disobeyed God, and God said, you're not even going to get to lead this people into this land that I've promised them. Somebody else is going to do it. So you think your life is rough? Tonight I would ask you, think about Moses' life. You think you've got problems? think about Moses. And yet the Bible says, and we read it in Hebrews 11, verse 27, he endured. He endured. He lasted. He finished the journey. He did what God wanted him to do. Same thing can be said about the Apostle Paul. He wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And that's what God desires for every one of us as his children. Every one of us that are Christians, God has a desire that we will endure, that we will finish the race that he's given to us, that we will be faithful to him. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." That's what God wants for each of us. He wants us to be found faithful all the way through. Not halfway, not a quarter of the way, not three quarters of the way through the journey. But he wants us to finish the course that he's given us. Now again, there will be obstacles. There will be things that come up that will try to get us off course. There will be things that come up that will try to get us discouraged. But God wants us to endure. He wants us to be faithful. All of us don't have a bunch of talents. Some of you have a great amount of talent, but some of the rest of us don't have many talents. I'm glad God didn't say, "I want you to be talented." He said, "I want you to be faithful." I'm so glad that God said, "You don't have to have an outgoing personality." I mentioned this morning, I didn't get saved when I heard the gospel. I wanted to, but I was too shy to walk down the aisle. I know some of you have a hard time believing that I was ever shy, but I still am at times. And I'm glad God didn't say, "I want you to have an outgoing personality." He said, "I want you to be faithful." And I'm so glad that God didn't say, "You got to be good looking and in good shape," because that would rule me out on both counts. I'm so glad he said, "You have to be faithful." So tonight, I speak on the subject, how to endure. Again, my text phrase is that last phrase of verse 27, "For he endured," talking about Moses, "as seeing him who is invisible." The key, and by the way, in the next chapter of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says the same thing. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And here's the key: looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The same thing that Moses did is the same thing that the writer of Hebrews encourages us to do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the key word in Hebrews 11:27, that last phrase, is a two-letter word, "as." As. And you know, let me just stop here for a second and just tell you, this is why, what I'm about to say, this is why that I don't believe you ought to belong to the Bible of the Month Club. This is why I don't believe you ought to have, you know, 18 different versions. This is why I tell you every now and then that I think you ought to stick to the King James 1611 version of the Bible. We're going to celebrate 400th birthday this year. We'll probably have a special Sunday in May when we do that. But all the other versions, they'll change a word here, change a word here, and they say, "Well, it's just a little word, two letters." Well, this word "as" is a very important word. Because I'm glad it says "as." I'm glad it didn't say "by." He endured by seeing him. Because I'll tell you tonight, if we can only endure by seeing him, none of us would make it, because none of us have seen him. I've never seen God. I've felt his presence. I've felt his leadership. I've felt his direction. but I have never seen God. Not too many people have. I mean, Moses one time said, God, I want to see your glory. I'd like to see you. And God said, well, nobody can see me and live. Tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over you. I'll make my backside pass before you. And I'll take my hand off and let you see my backside. Moses didn't see God. Gideon saw an angel of the Lord. Jacob wrestled with an angel, thought he'd seen God face to face, but it was one of God's angels. Paul went up to the third heaven and saw things that are, he said, unlawful for him to talk about. I mean, I read in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah peeked into heaven, saw the Lord sitting on a throne. I don't know how much he saw of him. But I'm glad that verse doesn't say by. The only way that you can endure is by seeing God. It says that Moses endured as seeing God, as seeing him who is invisible. Not by, again, Moses didn't see God, but he lived his life as seeing him who was invisible, that never left him or forsook him. Lived his life as and endured with the faith that says, my God told me he'd never leave me or forsake me. My God told me that he'd be there with me all the time. And even though I can't see him, I'm going to live my life as if I can. And Moses did that, and he endured. Now, I'll tell you what, we have something better than Moses had. We have something better today than Moses had. Moses did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. We do. A part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God, indwells every Christian. When you ask Jesus to be your Savior, and by the way, if you've never done it, you need to do it tonight. Not only will you get a home in heaven, not only will you avoid hell, but part of God will come in and live with you forever and ever and ever. Never leave you or forsake you. Always be there with you. And we need to live our lives as seeing him who is invisible that indwells us. And this is a secret to endure. I live my life as if I can see the God that indwells me. I live my life, a life of faith, as seeing the Holy Spirit of God who uses my body as a temple. And if I live my life that way, as seeing him, it will help me endure. Now, let me just give you some examples. It'll help us if we live our life as seeing him to face temptation and overcome temptation. Do you know, most people sin when they think they're by themselves. Do you ever stop and think about that? Most people sin when they think they're by themselves. I mean, you might do things by yourself that you would not do if your mother or father was with you. You might do things by yourself that you wouldn't do if your husband or wife were with you. You might do things by yourself that you wouldn't do if one of your children were with you. Most of us sin when we think we're by ourselves. That's what the verse is talking about in John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And we don't sin when there's other people around us because we don't want them to see. I mean, again, most of us sin, if we're going to sin, when we're by ourselves. If I live my life as seeing him who is invisible, I have to realize I am never alone. Huh? I'm never alone. Again, I might be tempted to do something when I'm all by myself. I mean, my kids are not there. One of you are not there. You mean you live better when somebody's around you than when you're by yourself? Yeah. And I would submit to you, so do you. Huh? So do you. Don't look up here and look all sanctimonious at me. So do you. You are more on guard. You will be more apt to walk that straight and narrow way if somebody's, if one of your children or if one of your grandchildren are beside you. I got to tell you this. Judy was telling me, Judy and Gary had their great-granddaughter with them this morning, and the choir sang, and she said, "Boy, those big kids sing good." And can you imagine, grandpa or grandma, if one of your little grandkids were beside you and they looked up and saw you do something that you knew were wrong and they asked the question, "Grandpa, why did you do that?" Now, most of us wouldn't take that chance. If we had one of our grandkids with us, we wouldn't do anything that we'd have to explain to them. We wouldn't do anything that was wrong because we would not want to set the wrong example. And again, most of us sin when we're by ourselves. And I'll remind you tonight, if I live my life as seeing him who is invisible, I got to realize I'm never alone. Not only can the Holy Spirit see what I do, but he knows what goes on in here. Aren't you glad other people can't read your mind? Oh, I'm getting close to you now, ain't I? Aren't you glad other people can't read your mind? Aren't you glad they don't know what you really think? I mean, if other people could read our mind, I tell you what, we guard our thoughts a lot closer. We wouldn't go places that we go because we would not want people knowing what we're thinking. Do you know the Holy Spirit knows every thought that you have? The Holy Spirit of God, God himself, knows every thought that we have. And if I live my life as seeing him who is invisible, I will endure and it will help me to overcome temptation. Because just like I don't want my grandchild or my child or one of you to know what goes on in my life or in here, I should not want the Holy Spirit of God to see me think things I ought not to think, to see me do the things that I ought not to do. I endure as seeing him who is invisible. Helps us read the Bible. Helps us get into this book. You know, there are some places in this book that are hard to understand. There are some places in this book that when you come there, you got to dig. You got to think about what God's trying to say. But I'll remind you tonight, the one that indwells us is the one that inspired the men that wrote this book to write it. The 40 different men that God used to write this book were moved by the Spirit of God, dictated to by the Spirit of God, and wrote down what the Spirit of God told them to write down. And so when I get into this book and there's a place I don't understand, if I live my life as seeing him who is invisible, I can just say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, could you help me understand this? I don't understand what you're trying to say here. I don't understand the point you're trying to make. I don't understand how this can affect my life. I know there must be something there for me, or else you wouldn't put it in there. What do you want me to get? How should my life change because I've read this portion of Scripture?" I don't have to just say to myself, "Well, there ain't no way I can understand that." You know, I really enjoyed people that have come to me in the last few weeks and say, "Preacher, what does this mean?" They're reading through the Bible. So I've never seen this in there before. I had somebody tell me, I think it was Wednesday night. Yeah, somebody Wednesday, I don't even remember who it was. And I don't even remember what I was talking about. But she came up to me after the service and she said, "I have never heard that story before." This was an adult. Somebody that I think went to church most of their life. You know, it's exciting to me to be back with the kids in Sunday school and tell them stories that they've never heard. There's a lot of stories that the kids haven't heard yet. And I'm so glad that sometimes I get to sit down with them and tell them those stories. Even kids that have been to church all their life, they just haven't come across a Sunday school lesson that dealt with, you know, that dealt with the story. And sometimes you can tell them a story that they've never heard before. You know, sometimes that happens to adults too. They run across things in the Bible that they've never seen before. And they ask the question, well, is there something in here for me? Is there something in this story or in this illustration or this person's life that's in for me? I want to tell you, if we live our life as seeing him who is invisible, we have within us the one who wrote this book, the one who inspired, and the one that can help us understand and get out of it exactly what God wants us to get out of it. Number three, helps us pray. Helps us pray. Do you know, when you don't spend much time with somebody and you get together with them, sometimes it's hard to talk. Where do you start? They might not know what's going on in your life right then. I mean, maybe they were a friend from the past. I was talking to my mom this afternoon. I was coming back from the hospital, and I guess they had a street reunion. The street where I grew up when I was a kid, a couple of the kids organized a reunion for the kids that lived on the street. And I said, well, how come I didn't get invited? Well, she said, you were, but have you been on Facebook lately? I said, no, I haven't looked at Facebook for months. She said, well, that's how they invited you. And so she started going, a couple of them came to see her and my dad. And so she was going down the list of all the people that lived on our street that I grew up with, my childhood friends. Some of them I haven't seen in years and years and years. Now, if I would have went to that reunion, we could have looked back. I hate to even say, we could have looked back 45, 50 years, and you know, we would have had some things in common, and we could have talked about those things, but it would have been hard for them to talk, it would have been hard for me to talk to them about what's going on in my life right now, because I haven't been with them much. I want you to know something. It shouldn't be hard for us as Christians to pray, because God is with us all the time. He knows everything that's going on in our life. There are no secrets that we keep from him. There is no subject that we can't talk to him and say, I can't talk to him about this because he's not going to understand it. He doesn't know what's going on. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. There's nothing in your life that's going on that God doesn't know about, that God's not concerned about, that God doesn't want you to talk to him about. Everything in our life he knows about, everything in our life he cares about, and everything in our life he wants us to talk to him about. And if I live my life as seeing him who is invisible and realize that he is with me all the time, I ought to be to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray with no reservation. Because God knows everything, cares about everything, and invites us to talk to him about everything. And so I can endure if I live my life as seeing him who is invisible. And then last, number four, it helps us face the trials that God sends into our life. Life sometimes is an obstacle course. Satan wants us to get off course. God wants us to get stronger. Satan wants us to quit. God wants us to endure so that as we can endure, we build up our strength. I will remind you tonight, you don't get stronger by dropping out. You do not get stronger by quitting. You do not get stronger by setting down. You get stronger by completing the course. You get stronger by running the race. We get stronger as we live our life as if seeing him who is invisible. Every trial, every heartache, every obstacle is allowed to come into our life by a God who has allowed it to come in so that we can get stronger. Not quit. Not get off course, but get stronger. You say, well, if God really loved me, he would not let this happen in my life. You think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that after the fiery furnace? Huh? I mean, do you think they actually came out of the fiery furnace and said, man, if God really loved me, he would have never let that happen? No, no, no. They rejoiced because they got to see what the king says looked like the Son of God walking in that furnace with them. They came out of that, man, I think they came out of that furnace rejoicing, dancing, clicking their heels together. And I don't know if Daniel was around and saw it all. I can just see them going back to their buddy Daniel and said, hey, you never believe what happened. The old king threw us into the fiery furnace and we were in there all tied up. And we came out not even smelling like smoke. You should have been there, Daniel. You ever come out of a trial like that? Oh man, this thing's in my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. If God really loved me, he wouldn't treat me like this. He's treating you like that because he does love you. He's treating you like that because he knows you need to get stronger. He's treating you like that because he knows the only way you're going to get stronger is to endure. And he promises, I'll never send anything into your life that you can't handle. Now we may say like Ann, well, sometimes he gets pretty close. And maybe he does. But he knows what our limit is. And he says, I'll never exceed it. Never, ever, ever exceed it. So how do I endure? Simple. I mean, I want you to leave this place tonight remembering a two-letter word. Not by. As. As seeing him who is in visible. That will allow us, you and me, to endure, to make it, to finish the course, to run the race, and do what God wants us to do. Now, as mentioned a moment ago, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the first thing you need to take care of. You're a sinner. Wages of sin is death. But Jesus paid the price for your sin. And just like those two little girls did this morning that we rejoice about tonight, you can do the same thing. You can come to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for sin, but I believe that you died for me, and I want you to save me. Can't think of a better night to do it. I mean, this is the perfect time to do it right now, to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it offers to every person the free gift of salvation. And I pray if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know Christ, they will not let this opportunity pass. They would not put it off. They would see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and see the price that was paid by Jesus Christ. And tonight they would come and receive him. Receive the gift of life that he offers to every person. Father, most of us here tonight are Christians. I pray we take heed to what Moses did. I pray we'd live our life as seeing him who is invisible, and that we would endure. Speak to our hearts as Christians if there's something we need to do, if we need to come to this altar and get something straight, if we need to make some other public decision, I pray tonight you'd speak to us and we'd be obedient. Father, just bless this time of invitation. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.